Jerry talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Oh, Nathan got a break today.
I love it.
It's right now, it's 4:03:08. We're supposed to start at 4, but a lot of times a country song will still be playing, like that great
I think that's
Roxanne Cash singing. So we were 2 minutes late. Nathan texted me and said, I might be a buzzer beater today. How come?
Every red light in the book. It's all right. Hey, we made it in on time. Sort of. We'll put sort of.
You made it in before we started because we started 3 minutes after four today.
Yeah, I was on Geiger time today.
So. Exactly. Yeah. But it does help when we're playing a song that kind of bleeds in a little bit. All right. This is Sports Central, 946-0435. If you want to join us, I do have a fun question for everybody, and this one actually has to do with sports, Nathan.
Oh, okay. So we are getting back to our roots here.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see if something better comes along. But the sports question before I rip into the NCAA for being a ridiculous and pathetic organization. The sports question for today. Ready for this? If you could be a professional athlete in any sport, which sport would you hope it would be? Now, you can use whatever criteria you want because there are different things here. All right. If I were to ask you, Nathan, what kind of job would you want? You can say, well, I want the job that I love doing the most. Or you could say, I want the job that pays me the most, even if I hate it, mm-hmm. or somewhere in between. So my question for everybody, if you could be a professional athlete in any sport, which sport would you hope it would be? 946-0435. So again, if you just absolutely love doing one activity, you can pick that, whatever. But that activity, let's see if Nathan pays attention. What is the name of the world-famous 1970s and 80s America's Cup yachtsman?
I knew you were about to ask this. I knew it right in your mind. My gosh. I can picture his face right now. It's a little chubby face because I saw a picture of him 2 weeks ago.
We were talking about it.
Oh, my gosh. What's his name start with?
Dennis Conner. So Dennis Conner was a world famous yachtsman. I'm not sure he made a ton of money.
Oh, man, I should have got that.
But my point is, here's what ends up happening. All right, let's look at Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is an interesting example. Elite level baseball player, elite level football player. Now he chose football. Now, he plays quarterback, too, so that does make a difference because he's on the extreme high end of the earning scale as a quarterback. Some other players, Jeff Samardzija was a guy, played Notre Dame, really good football player. He chose baseball. Now, he was a pitcher, so he chose that side of it. So you could Bo Jackson played both, but I mean, you could say Bo was a better football player, but he would have been a great baseball player had he not got hurt. Deion Sanders played both, although he was better as a football player. So you could say, well, I love baseball, but football might be better for me. Or I love football, but baseball might be better for me. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I see what you're getting at.
946-0435 if you want to weigh in on that fun topic. What would it be for you? You could pick any sport. And again, it could just be for the love of it, for the money, for the fame, for the ease of travel, great lifestyle. Soccer players now make the most money in the world, mm-hmm. by the way. So what would you choose?
You know what? I just played the sport for the first time earlier today.
What?
I just golfed for the first time, and I'll tell you what, I enjoyed it. I don't know if that's a sport I'd choose, but man, I feel like for the pay and the lifestyle you'd live, it's not physical at all.
You are such an unbelievable Johnny-come-lately. So
I know.
So I asked you which sport you're going to choose, and you're going to choose the one you literally just did for the first time.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I'm not choosing that, though.
Okay, I would hope not.
No.
Because...
No.
that, okay, did you play a round? Like, did you play?
Back nine. So
you played Bargy's back nine?
Yeah.
Okay, you hit the ball pretty well?
Some shots and some shots.
And now have you done the range?
No, this is the first time I've ever actually, I mean, I've swung golf clubs before. This is the first time I really ever tried, you know, gauging a distance.
My son, who is 12, he's actually in the studio right now because we got to go to soccer practice here in a few minutes. We've played at Bargy's Back Nine 6-8 times, and I'm getting him involved in golf. And here's why golf is a stupid answer. Here's why golf is one of the worst answers you can have. And you'll know this when you play a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th time. Golf is highly addictive.
Mm-hmm.
When you hit a great shot, you can come in and say, oh, I love this game. But golf will destroy your soul and destroy everything about you because you might think you're doing pretty well, and then all of a sudden you just collapse because that's what golf does.
Yes.
So did you have some did you hit some shots today?
It is exactly how it went.
You hit some shots today and you thought, well, I like this. This is good. And then you lost six consecutive balls in the woods. Did it happen to you?
No, I didn't really have – this is what I will say. I never really had like a horrible shot actually,
okay,
weirdly enough. I mean, they were all like – you know, there were some that were definitely better than others, but none of them, you know, went in the woods. None of them went sideways. I mean, it was better. Well, actually, the first shot I hit off a light pole and it directly shot right back at us. So that wasn't the best.
On number 10, the very first hole that goes directly
straight. Yeah, you know, the left that I hit that pole directly.
So your total drive went about what, 10 yards? Maybe?
It actually went negative. It went back.
Backwards.
But then
that, Chase? His drive on the first hole went backwards.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Nathan must be horrible.
It wasn't the best for that. But then the second one got a little better. So hey, it was the first shot I actually ever hit with a golf ball. And I was like, oh man, this is a nice first shot. And then.
Okay.
Immediately.
Well, you're going to give me a legitimate answer here in a little bit.
All right. Here's what I will say. My legitimate answer will always be an individual sport if I had to choose something. Because I've gotten to the point where I'd rather just bet on myself totally. Like, it's all up to me. I don't got to, you know, bank on a third baseman making a sliding grab or, you know, your pitcher not throwing or a quarterback delivering.
You don't have to have a good, even if you're pitching well, you don't have to have a good defense behind you.
Yes, correct. I would never, I want to choose something in which I am, if I'm like making it a career, there's no one to blame but myself. So.
What, do you got one? Good Lord, you're the most wishy-washy. I got to take phone calls now because you're hemming and hawing.
Take some phone calls.
Nathan's
phone
awful
calls.
Today. Coming in late, not prepared.
Not prepared.
Jim and Altoona, what's going on, Jim?
Not much. What's going on?
If you could pick a professional sport to play, what would it be?
I had the love for baseball plus guaranteed money to take care of my family.
Baseball pays a lot of money, and it is
lot of money.
It is every day. It's a you can have a pretty nice lifestyle with baseball. You don't have to risk a lot of injuries necessarily, although obviously you can get hurt, but. Baseball,
right.
Are you a little bit older? You played Little League or youth baseball, that kind of thing?
Yes, I'm a lot older. My boy did travel ball and all that.
Almost everybody.
But I love baseball.
Almost everybody, every boy in this country, I don't know what the percentage is. I would have to guess it's 75%+ of boys in this country play baseball at some point in their life. You think that's a reasonable number?
Yes. I mean, my younger brother is not a sports guy at all, and he played baseball.
But he played. I mean,
yes.
you try T-ball, you try 5, 6, 7, whatever.
It's a way of life, almost,
for a young boy. Now, inner-city boys, I don't know. I don't know what that percentage might be. But so you're going with baseball, huh, Jim?
Yes, I am definitely going with baseball.
All right, good stuff, buddy. Appreciate it, man. 946-0435. I am going with baseball. My favorite place in the world to be is on a baseball field. We just came from a baseball field 45 minutes ago. We are going back to another baseball practice at 6 o'clock. So if I could be anywhere on Earth, I would prefer – I am more comfortable on a baseball field – I don't know why, and having a son who plays baseball, I think, has helped reinvigorate that over the last 7 or 8 years. But my whole life, I've always said, if I could do one activity on this entire planet, it would be I would just stand at shortstop for 6 hours taking ground balls. That to me is the most fun activity in the world.
Yeah, it's fun. Baseball is very, very fun. But like I said, the team element for me.
Yeah. Baseball, you're relying. That's you're relying me. On a lot of people
shout
in
out Paul
baseball.
Shout out Paul Skeens. So.
Exactly. You can be one of the great pitchers of all time. Yep. And yeah, that is a very good point. Let's go to Jack in Altoona. Jack says he's got some trivia here. We love trivia, Jack. What do you got, buddy?
Hi, guys. How are you?
All right, man.
Well, I want to say, I grew up golfing, and I can't score, but I could hit a lot of good shots. When I blew my back out, I spent 1 year just chipping around the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, boy, did that really improve my game.
Well, it's interesting what you said.
Take a target.
Because it's interesting what you said, because this is the reality of golf. Nathan, you'll figure this out. You can hit a lot of really good shots and feel really good about yourself and then shoot 130. Because golf is not about hitting some nice shots. Golf, no, golf is within 75 yards of the green. That's golf. You can hit an awesome shot or two, and you can be 10 yards off the green, and then it takes you two shots to get on the green, and you four putt, and all of a sudden you leave with an eight after hitting really good shots. So what Jack's talking about is you can feel like you're playing good golf, but if you don't know how to putt and chip, golf will tear your soul apart. You see what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you want some really good tips on how to chip and putt, buy Harvey Penick's Little Red Book, because he has some terrific ways to learn the short game.
Now, you said you didn't work on the short game till you hurt your back. Were you just somebody you wanted to just go out and either grip it and rip it or just hit it and have fun?
No, I went out to play for fun, but also to score. And but I concentrated on the short game after I hurt my back.
Then did you become a better scorer? Did you become a better scorer?
Yeah, I mean, I could shoot in the 80s, and that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Can't do it now. But then about baseball, I mean, so you like catching ground balls. I used to like being in the outfield and just catching fly balls.
You like you're just like standing in left field taking a bunch of fungos?
Yeah, and actually one of our coaches when I was a teenager taught us how to catch rundown fly balls. He'd start us in left and he'd say, "Get on your horse." This guy was a semi-pro, and he'd fungo one like 300 feet or more. And you just have to run like crazy and run it down. When I got proficient with that, I was not afraid in the outfield anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when I played in high school, I could run down anything. So that's that. But then the trivia I got for you. So I'm 74. I grew up watching Dennis Conner race, and that was fantastic.
Am I right? I don't know if you've heard this, but we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Back in the early 80s, ESPN showed America's Cup like 5 hours a day.
He did what, 5 hours a day?
ESPN, back before they got all these national contracts, ESPN would show America's Cup like 5 hours a day. Dennis Conner was a national superstar because he was on to ESPN all the time.
And they raced the old boats, too, you know, so it was a lot of... It wasn't this high-speed foil stuff. I mean, there was a lot of strategy, and you had to cut the guy's wind off and stuff like that. You know, he was a master at that. But he developed a condition from being in extreme sun exposure on the water. So you get like triple sun rays. You get the sun itself, the reflection, and then the humidity causes like a prism effect.
Mm-hmm.
Prism effect. So he developed an eye condition, and I want to say, if one of your callers can get the answer, they win the prize. So the prize is, if you remember the movie Space Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
when the two guys crash the rocket ship and they're parachuting down, they're free falling. And Tommy Lee Jones says to Clint Eastwood, "First one down wins the prize." So if one of your callers gets it, they win the prize. And I left the answer with your secretary, the lady that's answering the phones.
So what's the question?
What is the medical condition of the eyes that Dennis Conner developed from later in life from sun exposure while racing?
All right, that's good. Now, do you think that's something people can Google relatively easily, or is it harder to find?
Well, with AI, they can Google it for sure.
Huh?
But if you remember Dr. Edel on the radio years and years ago.
I did. Dr. Dean Edel. Yeah, I remember that.
That's correct. So he asked a similar question. these guys always get asked the question, what is this versus that? And so it has to do with the eyes, but I just can't tell it on the air.
And so you have a prize that you told Jody about?
Yeah, it's in quotation marks with capital letters. They win the prize.
The prize. I got you. Yeah. The prize of being smart.
Yeah. It's from the movie Space Cowboys.
Great stuff, buddy. Good stories, Jack. Yeah. Thank you, man.
Okay. Nice talking with you. Thank you.
Good chat. 946-0435. Caller number three wants to call in and talk about Michigan.
Okay.
Bear with it, because we're going to get to that in a minute or two. I got one more call before you, because we are going to spend time on Michigan and the NCAA and what a complete joke of an organization that is, and the disgrace, quite frankly, of the Michigan punishment today. But Nathan, you got a sport yet?
I do. I think if I had to choose one sport, weirdly enough, I think it's boxing. I think I'd like to box.
I don't even know what's going on here.
Because hear me out. You're fighting maybe 2-3 times a year. Massive payday.
Have you ever... Here's what's funny.
Yes, I have.
You have boxed?
Yes.
You like it?
I trained for a while, yeah.
Okay, so it's not like golf where you're just randomly picking a sport to generate.
No.
So you want to get pummeled in the face...
Bro, for a bag, like...
And yeah, you make a lot of money.
You make a lot. These... Bro.
Google Mickey Rourke.
Okay,
right?
Mickey Rourke. Did you ever see the picture of Floyd Mayweather with all the money out?
He's the money man, right?
Yes.
What's he called? Is it money man, money maker, money matcher? What's his nickname?
Floyd
money maker, money man?
Money
man?
Floyd...
Google Mickey Rourke. Because Mickey Rourke, from 9 and a half weeks with Kim Basinger, was really one of the... best-looking actors.
Wait, who am I?
Mickey Rourke. One of the best-looking actors in Hollywood in the 80s. Then he decided to go off and have a damn boxing career. And he got pummeled.
Yeah.
He got pummeled like nobody's business. And then he decided to try to come back to acting, and really, you know, he didn't have his looks anymore. Now, he did come back, make a huge comeback in a movie called The Wrestler. Have you seen The Wrestler, Nathan?
I know exactly what it is. I have not seen it.
It is a great movie, and I'm not a big wrestling fan, but Mickey Rourke was phenomenal in it. It fit him because his face is all deformed and mangled from boxing. So I would just ask you, I'll give you, Nathan, you can make 50, 60 million bucks in boxing, but your face is going to be pretty damn deformed for the rest of your life. You making that trade-off?
If I had to pick one, I would. If I had to pick one. Like I said, I'd want to be an individual thing and something I'd like. And I think
you don't sound all that convinced by
this. Well, the reason I also like it, because imagine if you're standing, whether it's an octagon or a ring, you're the only, like, you knock out someone, you got all these people cheering for you, and usually all the eyes are on you in the sports world. I mean.
But you wouldn't want to be an NFL superstar,
no.
An NBA superstar,
I would
a baseball superstar, a soccer superstar?
I would get decapitated on an NFL field. There's a good chance I wouldn't ever hit a shot in a basketball game. Then baseball, I would never get a hit. So.
Yeah, but what if you could? I'm not saying what you could do. I'm saying which one would you enjoy the most? And you're over telling me you'd enjoy getting pummeled in the face by Floyd Money Mayweather.
To be fair, if I was a third-string quarterback, I mean, listen, that's the life. I mean, you're getting paid well to sit on the bench and do nothing.
That is good. All right, we're going to talk Michigan and the NCAA after this.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simply human sense.
Find out more today at High Street Gingrich Insurance Agency, Altoona.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
It's back to school time. Get your vehicle ready to get them there. T&L Moore Enterprises.
T&L Moore Enterprises.
Owners of Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales can help with their back-to-school oil change special. Get lube, oil and filter service, inspection of all belts and hoses, tire air pressure set, tire rotation, brake inspection and battery inspection, plus a multi-point vehicle inspection, all for only $59.99. Or get a complete digital vehicle inspection and a comprehensive service plan. Now, just $59.99. See Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue, Altoona, or Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg.
T&L Moore Enterprises.
Voted hometown favorite, ARC Federal Credit Union is proud to support our community. With youth accounts, student loans, annual scholarships, and business loans tailored just for you. With over 200 five-star Google reviews and a commitment to local youth sports, ARC is the credit union that believes in you and your future. Visit arcfcu.org today, your hometown credit union, where community comes first.
Another tough season is ahead for the defending District 6 champion in 5A, the Hollidaysburg Golden Tigers. They're prepared for another grueling independent schedule presented by Himmler's Poultry on 1370 and 96.1 Hank FM. Join Matt Bortner and Skip Dry from the Snare & Associates Mortgage Services broadcast booth for all the action.
Doesn't get to Bainey and finds an open Brady Steiner down the right numbers, past the 20, past the 10, and in for a touchdown.
August 22nd at 6:45. For the pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff. Golden Tiger football is brought to you in part by Allied Milk Producers, Hollidaysburg Auto Parts, your Napa distributor, Thrive End Financial, Andrea Paul, Pacifico Bakery, Courtesy Motors, Allstate Colin Sheehan, Proactive Sports, and O'Neill's Hotel. Once again, join us for Hollidaysburg Golden Tigers football. It's coming up Friday, August 22nd, when they host the Altoona Mountain Lions. It's all on 1370 and 96.1 Hank F.
Hank FM.
All right. I'm not going to get much disagreement on this. And if you disagree with me on this, then you're just a damn fool. But the NCAA is a complete and pathetic joke. The NCAA is one of the worst organizations on this planet. They are spineless, they are cowards. They are hypocrites. They are inconsistent. Quite frankly, the NCAA is a bunch of losers. All right. And so they proved why once again today, dropping the hammer, and by the hammer, I mean a Q-tip ever so lightly on Michigan's football program for cheating a couple years ago with the sign-stealing scandal. Michigan will get fined. What could end up being $20-plus to $30-plus million. Now, that's a lot of money. Nathan, how much do we talk on this show about how fans don't care about money?
All the time.
So, some Michigan booster will find ways to pay this money and pay back. It won't be that big of a deal. They get to keep their national championship. They don't have to vacate any wins. They were found guilty on numerous major violations. But essentially, outside of losing money, nothing of major sports consequence will happen to Michigan. They will not receive a postseason ban. Jim Harbaugh gets a 10-year show cause order on top of the 4-year show cause order he already got for recruiting. So basically no college can hire Jim Harbaugh for 10 years. That's how big of a loser that guy is. because that's I think that's the second longest show calls order in NCAA history.
Who's number one?
I believe Todd Bozeman, former Cal basketball coach. You can look this up. He paid money. He was Jason Kidd's basketball coach.
Todd Bozeman.
He ended up back at Morgan State, but I think he got a 10 to 12 year show calls order. Caller number three is an Ohio State fan. I'm just curious your thoughts and look, I know the Ohio State
8 years.
Eight years.
So this is longer.
Harbaugh's is longer. So I'm just curious what the Ohio State fan reaction is to this nonsense.
Well, like my brothers, all Ohio State fans, it's just what we expected. We didn't think anything was going to happen.
Why didn't you think anything would happen?
Because the NCAA is useless. I knew they weren't going to take this seriously.
Here's why I didn't think. They're too big to fail. When North Carolina had their massive academic fraud with their men's basketball program and, quite frankly, other studies within the university outside of athletics, they got very little punishment. And the NCAA's reasoning for not punishing North Carolina's men's basketball program for cheating academically was because lots of other people at the university were cheating academically. So they deemed it that it wasn't actually just a benefit for athletics. Okay, so if everybody's a scumbag cheater, we're not going to penalize individual groups for being scumbag cheaters. That's how ridiculous that whole thing was. So with Michigan, I did read, apparently there's language within the NCAA's rules with regards to vacating wins, that you can't do it unless players are ineligible. You see what I'm getting at? That ineligible players were used. And so that's why I believe that's why they're not going to vacate the national championship. Because even though everyone in the world, and this investigation found this, knew that they were cheating with the sign-stealing scandal, they weren't using ineligible players. So they get to keep their national championship.
Yeah, they just had ineligible cheating of the ultimate degree. It's interesting, Terrell Pryor and his crew the coach lost games, lost jobs, because they were trading memorabilia for tattoos.
Jim Tressel, let's keep in mind how revered Jim Tressel was. Nathan, do you remember much about Jim Tressel's career at Ohio State before their scandal?
I honestly do not remember much. Now, I know who Jim Tressel is, but I don't know much about the fallout.
Jim Tressel was, he wasn't Joe Paterno revered, before the Penn State. But Jim Tressel was an incredibly highly respected guy. And he got fired by Ohio State because of a tattoo scandal, tattoo gate, cheating scandal. And Terrell, and they did they have to vacate wins, Carter 3?
Oh, yeah. They lost the bowl game. They lost the bowl game. And then they never played again.
Yeah.
The three players, including Terrell Pryor, they never took another snap at Ohio State.
Reggie Bush cheated at USC. He took impermissible benefits. They took away USC's national championship. They took away Reggie Bush's Heisman for a long time before they're giving that back, right, Nathan? Do I have that correct?
Yeah, they're giving it back.
They took, because his mom and dad got like a house or something, if memory
that
serves
was it,
me.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can cheat. You can go scout other teams. You can steal their signs, and you can just blatantly cheat. And essentially, the only thing that I say only, again, we live in this fantasy world. They're going to lose $20 to $30 million in athletics or whatever, but they can make that up. And there's no other repercussion. But tattoos, everybody's fired. Mom and dad gets a house, we're taking your Heisman away. All of this is just the insanity of the NCAA to me, man.
Yeah, it's very unbalanced. They'll make $20 million at the gate and from revenue from one game.
Is it that high, you think? I've always wondered about what Penn State is. I want to say that might be a little high, although it's hard to come up with. Now, if you're talking gate, concessions, parking, I think Penn State might be somewhere in like the $12 to $15 million a game range in terms of the amount of revenue they make. Although, it's hard to fully know those numbers. They don't release that stuff.
Yeah, so that fine isn't going to hurt at all. Like you said, they'll have boosters. Basically, they got away with this scandal with virtually nothing. And, Harbaugh is never going to go coach college again. He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care about his 10-year
tattoo show gate, course. The punishment. They were forced to vacate all wins from the 2010 season, including the 2011 Sugar Bowl win, postseason ban for 2012, 2 years of NCAA probation, and a 5-year show cause for Jim Tressel.
And so here's what's interesting, because Jim Tressel, again, tremendously, Googled Jim Tressel, he ended up getting back into coaching. He became the president of Youngstown State University. And I want to say, did he go anywhere else after that? Nathan's Googling it.
Right now it says Ohio State until 2010 and 2011. He was a Colts consultant. Now right. He is the 67th lieutenant governor of Ohio.
He's a lieutenant governor. I forgot about that. So he's
9th president of Youngstown State University from 2014 to 2023.
That's how revered. Now, look, with all due respect, I'm just going to leave it here. There are a lot of crazy crap going on with Ohio politicians, okay? You can take that for whatever the hell you want it to be, Jim Jordan. But Jim Tressel gets fired over tattoos and becomes the lieutenant governor, one step away from being the governor of really one of the more important states in our country. That's crazy.
Yeah, but Michigan, they don't. Really,
Michigan gets little. It's crazy, man. Caller number three, anything else, buddy?
Just real quick, my sport would be basketball because it's the most fun sport, and I'm assuming I'm a superstar from what you said. And if I don't get hurt, what a great way to live your life.
See, it is interesting. I love playing baseball, just being on a baseball field. But basketball, I would tend to think. For the largest percentage of people, I don't know what the percentages would be. I think most people love playing basketball. Nathan, do you
basketball
love?
Basketball is one of the most fun things.
It's just fun. And so that's why when I ask this, and you bring out golf and boxing, for crying out loud, I don't even know what Nathan's doing over there. But I would tend to think a lot of people would say basketball.
Basketball's probably a popular because it's not too physical. It's,
right. And if you're not getting hurt, you get paid tremendously well. 10th, 11th, 12th guys on the bench can make $10 million easily now, so a year. So I would tend to think, car number three, a lot of people would agree with you with basketball.
Okay. Hey, you guys have a great week.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. 946-0435. If you've got the question of the day is, you could play any sport as a professional, what would you choose? Baseball, football, basketball, tennis, golf, boxing, soccer, whatever it is that you got. 946-0435. Again, I know that just playing pickup basketball is a blast. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have to worry about an injury or anything like that, and you're just having fun, and talk about the lifestyle, NBA players, they got it going on. In terms of Wilt Chamberlain and 20,000 women. You know this
allegedly,
story, right? Allegedly. I think that's
no
impossible.
Way. There's no way.
I think that's an impossible
no
statistic.
Did you ever see the Otto Porter and Wilt Chamberlain conspiracy?
No.
Do you know who Otto
yeah,
Porter
the basketball
is?
Player
yes.
from like
look
10
a,
years
look
ago?
Look at a picture right now on your phone of Otto Porter
people
and
think
Wilt
it's
Chamberlain.
One of his kids or grandkids?
Well, if you're sleeping with 20,000 women, grandkid potentially.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Interesting.
They look identical.
Yeah, 20,000, that's not realistic.
That is not real.
But it's probably safe to say it's 6,000, 8,000, 9,000, give or take. What at least.
Wilt was living the life.
And I think basketball players, because here's the thing. Basketball, you play 2 to 3 games a week. You're in all of the biggest cities in the country. You get to enjoy the nightlife of the biggest cities in the country. Baseball's every day. Baseball... It maybe doesn't take as much of a toll on your body, but it's every single day. And it's an incredibly mentally challenging sport. So
you fail.
And you're going to fail
you're
a lot. You're
66%
of the time
the best.
Fail a ton. In basketball, you can make a lot of money. You can live the nightlife in New York and Chicago and Miami and L.A. and all this stuff. So, I would think the most fun professional athlete lifestyle would be that of an NBA player.
Yeah, NBA players are a good pick. And like I said, if it wasn't for the team aspect of it, because
right.
I'm such a competitor to where I always want to win, I try winning is like I take everything so serious because I want to win. whenever I leave it in the hands of other people. Like, if I was on, like, a team like the Nets or the Wizards or something like that, I would absolutely hate my life because we would lose pretty much every single night. So that is the only reason why I wouldn't go with that.
Because of all that, I got a question. We're going to take a break. I got a question for you. I'm curious. We have never talked about one thing I'm gonna ask you about. But it is interesting because it does kind of fall into line with everything that you're just talking about.
Austin Cindric is on, getting us all set up for Richmond Under the Lights this weekend.
Yeah, I think Richmond's one of those racetracks that it's you really have nowhere to hide as far as your performance. So every week, man, I'm trying to win the race. That's going to benefit my playoffs, and you know that's what I'm paid to do. So, and that's what I want to do. So as far as that goes, that doesn't really change. That's kind of a constant. But you know, how aggressive we might be on strategy throughout the race, you know, there are definitely some opportunities to change things up. You know, depending on you want a one stop, you know, second and third stage. You want a two stop, second and third stage. You know, there is an opening because there's usually a lot of green flag runs, but because there's a lot of green flag runs, it's such a tricky racetrack.
And Austin, you got a win under your belt already, so what does that do to the rest of your season mentally?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways you can almost call it, you have the opportunity to kind of get into playoff mode, if you will, earlier, you know, from a team mentality standpoint, just as far as really executing. You know, the first two rounds of the playoffs are so much about execution, and you know, it's something that I feel like kind of the early part of the summer we really struggled to lock down as a team, and so that's kind of where our minds have been. But as far as how it relates to the years past, I think every year is a bit different, but at the end of the day, you know, it does give you freedom to put pressure on other things, you know, kind of as we move about the summer. But yeah, we are getting into that range of, you know, we kind of have to hunker down and absolutely execute and understand where our performance is at and where our strengths and weaknesses are, so when it does start up in Darlington, we're ready to go.
You are on the final lap.
We're definitely going to be late to the concert. I feel like we should be there by now.
I'm just taking a little detour. I got to fill up my gas tank, and I know this place a couple towns over where the gas is cheaper.
Are you serious? We're going to be late for the concert because you're driving out of the way for cheaper gas? Just use Upside.
What's Upside?
Upside is the free cash back app that gets you real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait, I can get cash back just for buying the gas I need anyway?
Yes, I use it all the time, and I've made around $200. Now pull over so you can download the Upside app before we miss the concert.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LIFE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or as a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LIFE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LIFE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus. That's code LIFE.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
All right, so here's my question for you, because you like individual sports. By the way, 946-0435. You like individual sports.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about any of these bum teammates screwing you over.
I was probably that bum teammate. I'm not going to lie to you.
You're highly competitive. You have heard me talk for a year about how awesome tennis is. Have you ever played tennis?
Well, tennis, I was thinking tennis. Now, the problem is I don't think I'd be good enough at tennis. Because
have you ever played?
Yeah, I played tennis.
Because you're a pretty good athlete, right?
But you're
physical. You can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm.
Can you hit the ball consistently back over the net?
As long as it's not coming in 100 miles an hour, yeah.
Well, right, yeah. That's a different discussion.
Yes,
but
yes.
Can you go out and do you enjoy tennis?
I do enjoy tennis.
Because tennis.
I love tennis.
There aren't many more. I mean, everything you just described. There aren't many more mano-a-mano, you versus the other person, physical, mental, because tennis, I tell my boy, we've been playing a lot of tennis lately, tennis is, you know, like Yogi Berra says, baseball is 90% mental and the other half physical. Tennis is that. Tennis is no matter what happens, because you're going to get dead tired, but you had better lock in mentally for every big point.
That's what I don't know with how much tennis demands of you at all times.
At all times, man.
And how much you have to, like, you're playing a ton of tennis. I don't know if I could do tennis. Tennis was an option I was thinking of. I also don't know if I love the sport enough.
Right. It is a tough sport.
I feel like that is a sport I would get burnt out with if I played it hours and hours and hours
right,
on end.
Right.
So that's why I wouldn't go with that.
So you're gonna pick boxing.
Over tennis, I would, yes.
But here's the thing. This is great. This is a fun discussion. You do realize, because you said you only have to fight two or three times a year. You do realize that boxers train.
Yeah, yeah.
As much or more than any athlete alive for those two or three
fights. Most of them. There are some that do not train
weeks out of camp. If you're George Foreman and you're just going to show up. But if you're
did you ever hear this Patty Piplik guy in the UFC?
No.
This dude literally eats like a maniac. Like, he's just eating like the worst diet of all time.
Traditionally,
yes.
Boxers.
Yes.
Rocky IV, you go to Russia, you're training in the mountains, you're pulling a sled with Mickey on it, or who was it on Rocky IV he's pulling the sled with? I can't even. Polly, maybe. I don't know.
Mickey died in what, 3?
Yeah, because Mickey died. Mickey was dead, and Apollo was dead already. So I think he might have been Polly on the sled. Anyway, boxing is known for having this unbelievably difficult training regimen.
Well, like I said, there's that 6-week camp or 8-week camp or however long it is.
But
that
you
it
better
is,
keep your body in
cruel.
Shape all the rest of that
yeah,
time,
you,
too.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're on top of it, but the only thing I would hate doing is probably cutting weight, because cutting weight is, like, if you're, like, these people cut, like, 25 pounds to make a weight class, they look like they're about to die. And sometimes they do actually die if you cut so much weight, like, their body can't take it, like, their organs shut down or something like that. So that is the only scary part, but
I would think, from what I know about you, maybe which isn't a ton from a personal standpoint, I would think that you would really enjoy tennis. I would think that tennis, because tennis.
I'd be worried about the burnout after a while.
But I'm just saying, just right now. Just,
yes, 5 plus. Like, yes, I would like.
Like, I would think, because there are, I, for everything that you just described, individual sports, competing, if you get a good tennis partner, now here's the difference. If whatever level of tennis you are, you don't want to play somebody tremendously better than you, because they're going to be hitting 110 mile an hour serves at you, and it's going to be six love, and you won't have any fun. But you also don't want to play anybody tremendously worse than you, because you're going to destroy them six love, and that won't be any fun. The challenge with tennis is to find somebody that's relatively similar to you. Like, okay, so a high-end male, you know, a tennis player will serve 140 plus miles an hour. A high-end female will serve 110, 120 miles an hour, maybe. But if you go out and play somebody that serves 60 to 70 miles an hour, something that's returnable, that's fun. Now, you don't want to start play somebody serving 20, 30 miles an hour, but you don't want to play somebody serving 110 miles an hour. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And luckily for me, most of my family, whenever we play tennis, it is, like, very consistent.
So it's very similar.
Everybody's
so
very
similar.
So
what you're serving at them is typically what they're serving back at you.
I might serve a tad bit harder.
Uh-huh.
I mean, sometimes
but they
it goes,
can return it?
They can. It's returnable. It is returnable, yes. So
right.
We're not serving 100 miles an
right.
hour, so.
I have played with a few people, I don't know about 100. I've played with a few people that serve relatively close to 100, and you're not getting the ball back.
Yeah.
You're just not. I mean, you might get your racket in front of it and lob one barely over the net that they come running in and smash to the ground and make you eat it. But you're in the hoping phase. You're hoping to get the ball back over the net. But if you play somebody that serves 60 to 80 miles an hour, you can get back going back and forth, good rallies.
A good rally in tennis
rally.
Is one of the best feelings you can
awesome,
get.
It's awesome, man. When you and
that and ping pong and pickleball, any type of those
yeah.
sports, whenever you get a good rally in one of those, like, after it ends, you're just like, You point to me like, that's good. That was good.
I've had two people in my life, a high school buddy of mine who was the best man at my wedding. We used to play tennis a lot at like 17, 18, 19 years old. And then my brother-in-law before he moved away almost 20 years ago. We played a lot of and both those guys, I was fortunate, they were very similar. It would be back and forth from point to point. And then, you know, he might win one day, I might win the next day, and we go back and forth. Now, my son's been playing tennis a lot, and it is fun because now he's getting to the point where he can hit it back and forth, and we can just rally. But I would say, because you mentioned golf, of all the individual sports out there, you know, I've probably had as much fun competing in tennis as just about anything else.
Tennis is a, like I said, that was on my radar. That was a pick that I also don't know about pay with that. I've kind of weighed that in as well. I don't know how pay
the elite
works.
Players, Djokovic, you know, Carlos Alcaraz, Yannick Sinner, they make tons and tons of money. I'm not going to get too involved in this because a lot of you don't care. I read an unbelievable excerpt of a book. The book is called The Racket. Can't remember what the guy's name was, but he was ranked like 300th in the world, whatever. And he, in this book excerpt, explained what life is like if you're number 300, 400, 500 in the world.
Is it terrible or like not?
You just live in complete isolation. You live in complete obscurity. And people don't realize the number 500 male player in the world would destroy Serena Williams. Would absolutely wipe, well, it was the number 200, that guy.
Yeah.
But a number 500 player in the world would destroy Serena. But if you're on the fringe and what he talked about in this, you go to these tournaments all over the world in these tiny little towns, and you travel by yourself. You don't have any coaching. You don't have any trainers. You don't have any physio. You don't have any of that stuff. You got to find people to hit with. And then if you luck out and you finally get into a good tournament, you might make a little bit of money that way. But it's an unbelievably grueling. It's a terrible lifestyle, to be honest with you.
See, that's why I'm not picking tennis.
Yeah.
That's why I wouldn't pick tennis.
The opposite of the NBA lifestyle. The NBA player walks into a nightclub in Miami and can basically have the pick of the litter. You know what I'm saying?
They're also 6 foot. The
number 300 male tennis player in the world can walk down any street in this country, in the world, and would not be recognized.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't be recognized. Yeah. I couldn't tell you maybe 10 through 15 on tennis, let alone 300th.
David in Altoona. What's up, David?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good buddy. Show. Thanks, man.
I imagine, Corey, you've played racquetball. Now there,
absolutely, that's tough.
Racquetball's tough.
That is a competition. I used to. I'm 50 now. My body can't take it from falling and hitting the wall. Until you know, it's good for a while. Until you play somebody that knows like how low to hit that thing, and then you're just done.
I've tried, you know what I mean? I'm not a great tennis player, but I've played a lot of tennis. I can't figure the hell out with racquetball. I've played it maybe 15 or 20. I can't get
the
angles. I can't get the angles. I can't get the
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, You want to try to hit back and forth, but when do you attack? When do you hit a lot?
Right.
I just couldn't get it figured out.
I mean, I would beat the heck out of myself, and I was like, the racket hit me right in the face, and like I would be bouncing off the walls. The other guy's like, oh, just standing back there.
And even if you're a good athlete, you're worn the heck out in a really
right.
short period of time. Nathan,
oh,
you ever play racquetball?
Yeah, a lot of movement.
You know how to play, like in terms of the strategy?
Not really.
Yeah, I could never figure. I always felt like, David, I'm just running as fast as I can,
right.
Not making any progress here.
Well, it was good when I was in college back in the day, but then later I played better guys and they just whooped me.
That's great. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it, dude.
You know, it popped in my head that I wouldn't mind playing professionally, although I hate any professional player of this sport because I think it's so corny, no pun intended.
Cornhole. Professional corn. There'd be no money involved.
You can make some money. You want to not live the NBA lifestyle, but I love playing cornhole.
This is kind of along those lines, but they used to have, and they probably still do, because it's made fun of a lot, professional mini golf, professional putt-putt.
Oh,
That's what reminds me of professional cornhole.
I will say I cannot stand listening to commentators on professional cornhole. It is a tough listen. Not that they're doing their job properly.
I'm gonna steal a joke I heard from 30 years ago. Probably this is a guy. The joke at the time was bowling announcer. So the guy, the comedian, his name's Brian Regan. He's very famous. But I heard this 30 years ago from Brian Regan. He goes, oh, here's a bowling announcer. All right, Jim, what do you think he's gonna do on this? I think he's going to try to knock down some pins.
Probably bull strike because they hit strike 80% of the time.
So cornhole is like, hey, what are they going to do on this? Throw it in the hole? I mean,
that's a good blocker right there. Yeah, that's a good block
what
bag.
What is the announcing on cornhole?
Three bagger. Oh. It's a tough
one. We got Nebraska man called in. I'll get to you in 1 second here. There we go. All right, Nebraska man, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's happening, pal?
You were saying about racquetball. My cousin, Fredine Engel, she was the athletic director for Penn State.
Yeah, I've heard you say to mention Fredine before.
Yeah, it's hard to win the national championship once, Corey, but she did it twice in 1988, 1990. She was ranked number one, and she was the national racquetball champion.
Fredine was the national women's racquetball champion?
Yeah, she won it in 1988, and then she won it in 1990.
Dadgum, that's an achievement.
Yeah, and then she was also, she was a great athletic director, but she blew her knee out, and she said that wasn't really, it was a bad thing, but in a good way, it was a good thing, because she ended up going back to Penn State Altoona. And being the athletic director.
Fredina had a phenomenal career. Phenomenal. Yeah, I know you've mentioned her before being related to her. What sport would you pick if you could play any sport professionally, Nebraska man?
Baseball.
Okay, how come?
Well, I'd be a pitcher if I was good. You only have to throw every 5 days, and you make big money.
You do make big money. Yep, and yep, that's good. All right, good stuff, man. We're going to take a quick break here. I want to ask Nathan a couple golf questions after this.
Okay.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday. Friday 9 to 5, on Saturday from 9 to 4, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Make the most of every lawn with Kubota commercial landscaping equipment. From the productivity-boosting Z700 mower to the reliable SVL track loader, it's a lineup built to get the job done right. Because when your reputation is on the line, you need equipment that will never let you down. Visit your local Kubota dealer today.
Test drive the Kubota Z-Series tractors today. Call McCoy's Lawn and Garden, 814-224-5335.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
What is your next success story? At University of Maryland Global Campus, you can succeed again. With more than 135 affordable online degrees and certificates to help you move your career forward. From cybersecurity and AI to healthcare and MBA, our programs help you build critical thinking, leadership, and communication skills that set you apart in today's job market. Apply now and save with no application fee through September 3rd. Visit umgc.edu to get started. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Hey,
All right, so Nathan said you played golf today. We could have done the whole show on this. You played golf for the first time today, right?
Yes, actual golf for the first time.
And you hit some good shots, right?
Correct.
This is what golf does to you. You hit a few good shots, and this is the worst thing golf will do to you. If your last shot of the day is a great shot, you know what happens?
You want to keep playing.
Makes you want to go back again. If your last shot of the day is a terrible shot, then you want to break a club, and I've done that too. So did you hit enough shots to want to go back?
Absolutely. And the reason I thought it was fun was it wasn't a huge time commitment. It wasn't like it was a super physical sport in which you were running and, you know, out of breath and stuff like that. I was sweating. It was a little hot out. But I don't know. I enjoyed it. Maybe because you're also kind of just hanging out and just doing something while you're hanging out.
I'm surprised it took you this long in life.
I've always wanted to, but I've never done it.
The problem with golf to me is, did you play with a group of people?
Yeah.
If you don't have a group of people, I did it a lot as a teen, and I'd go walk by myself. And that sucks. Because now you're out there for 4 hours by yourself. Or they join you with a foursome, and it's kind of like tennis. If they join you with a bunch of people who are really good, then you're dragging them down.
Yes.
Or if they join you with a bunch of people who are really bad, then they're dragging you down.
Well, my biggest worry going onto the course is I was going to drill someone in the head just by accident.
And kill your wife?
Huh?
You didn't see Happy Gilmore 2?
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, what? Yeah.
I hated that aspect of the movie, by the way.
The first 2 minutes, it gets you.
I hated it because I love her, Julie Bowen. She's awesome. Anyway, the reason I went and...
All on social media was, like, the second the movie came out, it was like...
Everybody's pissed.
Well, it's the first 2 seconds. It's like some, like, but depressing clips. Like,
the thing with golf, and golf is a great sport that you can play your whole life, but you got to... I'm telling you, you've got to be prepared. Again, it is soul crushing.
If I was playing for money or playing in a tournament, I would hate it. But the fact that I play it casually for fun, and I'm at the point now where it can't get much worse. I can only improve.
Correct. But here's where golf gets you. Say you play a whole bunch for a year or two or three. You get to be pretty good. Then all of a sudden you go out once or twice or three times and you're terrible again. So you're really only competing against yourself, but you will lose because the game will do that to you. We talk about baseball being a game of failure. Golf is more of a game of failure than baseball is.
I probably agree with that. I mean,
it will destroy. You can have a great day. The next day you come out and you're just horrendous.
Yeah, then that is soul crushing. We'll see if. You know, maybe a year or two from now.
We need to do a whole show on this. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.